Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show on air anywhere in the world that is actually formulating and articulating the only solution that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and get them into full compliance to the Constitution. If you cannot listen to this entire show, then this show will be rebroadcasted tomorrow, Thursday, at 5 p.m. Saturday, it'll be broadcast at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9 p.m. As you know, this show is an educational show, and many parts of these shows refer to previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. Consequently, to stay abreast with our content, you will need to listen to all of these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we can reclaim the Republic. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can stay informed. And so, as I always do, let me get into the local announcements, because I do have one of our candidates in Legislative District 3 that will be coming in for the last two segments of the show, and his name is Dave Lucas, and we will get more into that when we get closer to that. But, as you know, Rob Chase always hosts a Friday morning Republican Coffee Club at 7 in the morning. And this Friday, he will have prosecuting attorney Larry Haskell going through some of the more memorable cases. August 31st will be Angelo Lanzazzaro, and he is the acquisition of, and he's basically going to cover the acquisition of Avista by Hydra One and where we are with that. So I think you're going to want to be there for that, especially those of you who recognize the shenanigans that were all in play in getting America, or at least the Avista One customers, thrown under the bus in subsidizing Canadians, the Canadians' failure of socialism. Now, this meets every Friday at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman. So make sure you take your $5. That'll get you some coffee and a pastry. And you can also get breakfast there. They have a breakfast open. They're typically closed during this time, but they are open for Rob Chase's Republican Coffee Club. So make sure you get there. It's at 7 o'clock. Northwest Grassroots Movie Night will be the 12th of September, and I'm expecting it to be good, and I'm expecting it to be packed. And as a matter of fact, I am expecting it to be very interesting, because the Antifa and the Indivisibles and all of those radical leftists who are basically on the same side as the white supremacists, they're fascists, and they want very specific social justice, just like the white supremacists, just like the Black Panthers. They all want their own social justice. That's why they're all on the far left. But we're going to get a flavor of the far left, I believe, that'll probably show up at the Northwest Grassroots Movie Night at Darcy's. So it ought to be interesting, and you may want to actually be there and have your data chips on your cell phones and so forth cleared up so that you can record as much of that video as you possibly can, because I honestly believe that both the content will be worth attending, and I honestly think that because these leftists that are trying to go after everybody, to hurt everybody they possibly can by guilt by association, which with a bunch of trumped up charges and a lot of obfuscating of the truth and facts, if you go, then you will probably see that they're going to be doing their typical crud. And so I think it'll be definitely a must attend this coming September. That'll be, again, the 12th. It's Wednesday, the 12th of September, the day after the remembrance of 9/11. Now, if you've been listening to my Red State Talk radio, you'll probably know that I've kind of covered a lot of stuff, but lately I've been covering the Federalist Papers. And as of tomorrow, I'm actually going to begin covering the Chinese live organ harvesting problem, this huge business that they've created to cater to the world's elitist. This is what the Antifa and the communists are fighting for, is to create an elitist society so that those of us who will rule the minions of the world will be able to extend their life of debauchery by being able to receive organ transplants, replace their livers when they need them, so that they can continue on living a life of immoral decay. And so, again, like I said, later on, so this actually will be starting tomorrow on the Red State Talk Radio, but like I said, later on, I'm going to have Dave Lucas, who's a retired Marine who is running for office. He has decided that the heat of battle in Afghanistan and everywhere he's deployed during his long honorable career in the Marine Corps just wasn't enough heat for him. And so he is stepping into the political fray. And in doing so, he is kind of realizing, you know, who your friends are, or he's trying to come up with who the friends are and who are the foes. You know, the old IFF, identify friend and foe, which is the typical radar in every ship, aircraft, and what have you. In this interview, we could not get his opponent scheduled in time because this is a pre-recorded interview. So what I ended up doing was I gave Dave the second segment that I'm committing to the two sides of each legislative district. I'm hoping to actually have Jenny Graham and her opponent, as well as some of the other legislative races and their opponents. So we'll cycle back around to Dave when we get through those who are available. So whoever wants to, you know, make themselves available, they'll have the shot. So if their opponents, you know, choose not to make themselves available, then they're going to miss that round. Maybe we'll get back around to them, because we've still got a couple of months before the general election, a little over 2 months. So I believe we should be able to cycle through everybody a couple of times. And so I'm hoping that they all can find time to make themselves available for these. I think it's pretty important, you know, to ask each of these supposedly people who want to become our servants the questions of that I think are really important, because it stems to the oath that they have to take. The first thing they commit in their oath is to support the Constitution of the United States, as well as the state constitution. So I think it's really important that we talk to them about whether they understand that and how well they understand the Constitution and so forth. Well, I've actually been looking in the news, and I've noticed that there are quite a few places that are complaining about the federal smog that is coming from the West Coast forest fires. Bottom line, friends, all of these lands that are federal property seem to be just burning. And that is because they have failed. And this was the design. They have made everything possible to create these forest fires. This is why we have these forest fires every year. It is a seasonal problem, because they have no intention in ever trying to manage the state's property. As a matter of fact, the environmentalists love the fact that they're destroying and creating more of a carbon not just a carbon footprint, but they are literally polluting the air and making us miserable. And so when is it that the states will take their lands back and the powers, which they clearly have the authority to do this, when will they do this? When is it that we will actually, you know, get some traction? And people, bottom line, if it comes to you, you have to begin to demand this. You have to start demanding of your state legislators to do their job. It is their job to protect the state citizens from federal tyranny. If you have any questions regarding this, by all means, just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, I have my academic irrefutable argument that the states have the full authority of oversight over the Constitution in demanding compliance. I even have the descriptions of the process of republic review out there. I've said this several times. Sometimes I have to repeat this because I understand that nobody, or not everybody, I should say, not everybody, is downloading these podcasts and listening to them. So the real problem is that there is a lack of a succinct message from the people. If your pet peeve is the environment, if your pet peeve is Common Core, your pet peeve is immigration, your pet peeve is healthcare, that is the problem. Those are the distractions, and they want you to keep on chasing your pet peeve, and they keep distracting us in getting a succinct message. The message that we should be sending to our state legislators is getting the federal government into compliance. If you do this, my friends, you will have a succinct message, because getting compliance will take care of your healthcare problem. It will take care of abortion. It will take care of all of these things, because it then moves these problems out of the hands of the tyrants and moves them back to those in control of the states where you have better control. Well, I'm at a heartbreak, as you can tell, and so we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back, and what I am going to do is I'm going to do a little groveling, because I think it is essential to kind of put it out there that if you really want to help, if you're tired of complaining, if you're tired of being a part of the problem, because those who complain are really a part of the problem. It is those who actually step up and actually do something, because I'm not here to complain. I'm actually providing solutions. And I would ask that you would join me. So if you have a computer, if you've got a phone, if you are literate with those devices, then I would ask that you send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will tell you that I could use a lot of support. I could use sponsorships, and that I'll be getting more into that as we approach September and October. But Anyway, if you would like to actually change the direction of your life, and I'll even say this, that those who actually step into the fray of really becoming a part of the solution in leading, not managing, because I'm going to get into that here, but truly leading and calling upon others to join in leading for a true solution, then by all means, you can join me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So enough said. I've complained and complained, and actually I've been trying to lead. And actually a year ago, I had a meeting with the leads or the chairs of the three parties, the GOP, the Libertarian, and the Constitution Party. I even had the Libertarian and the Constitution Party state chairs at that meeting. I also had the militia commander at that meeting, or I've had a few meetings last year in October, or I should say August to about October. And we actually had the leaders of the RSC and others participating in this. And the whole message was that if they want to lead, if they want to be leaders, they have to put aside their differences, and they also have to put aside their self-interests. They have to lead on the core principles that everybody, every citizen has an affinity for, and that is individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Those are core principles that are in our DNA. It is a part of being an American. And so if you notice, there are plenty of these folks, and maybe not these folks in particular, but there are plenty of people that are, managers that are in supposedly leadership positions that go out and literally use their office, use their position for demagoguery towards their perceived foes so they can continue managing their agenda. This county is steeped with bad managers that are literally dividing and doing that. And as a matter of fact, this whole fiasco over the GOP, everybody that went out into the streets and started, you know, foaming at the mouth and blathering on and on, those right there, my friends, are the key leaders and managers who are using demagoguery in managing their agenda. If you want evidence of that, there's plenty of evidence. Go to the Socialist Review or the Spokesman, whatever, the local progressive rag, as well as I think there's this Inside the Socialist Party or the Inlander or what have you. Every single one of these print papers that are around here are socialist agenda newspapers and or messengers who try to use their biases in creating a perception. With that being said, if you go and read, you can find out who these people were. They were all, you know, more than willing to become the demagogue of the day, to poke their fingers in judging people when they offered no evidence. There was lots of labels, but no evidence. And I've talked a lot about this. And that is the epitome of demagoguery and management of an agenda. I believe that the GOP central committees in Washington, as well as all of this republic, need to be restored to Madisonian principles. They need to stop promoting the party and start promoting the Constitution. It is time. And the one thing I loved about John Charleston, he always had that up in his slides and so forth, that it is time we start putting America over party. I'll be a little more succinct with that. It is time we start putting the Constitution over party, because if we can get centered on the Constitution, most all of our problems will go away, because almost every problem we're suffering from are violations to the Constitution. So what we have to do is we have to start restoring these. And what we need, and I need you, if you want to be a part of the solution, if you want to actually step up and lead, I need you to get involved by becoming a PCO, by getting active and chanting and demanding that the central committee that you are becoming a part of in the county that you are in, whether that's Spokane, Stevens, or even if you're listening to this in Idaho or any other state, you need to start demanding that the central committee leadership start centering their platform and their organization on the Constitution. Because the GOP has been failing, especially in Spokane, Spokane needs an impeccable organization that is centered on the Constitution to set the example. I have some ideas of this, and I have a great way of doing this, because a part of this leadership is going to have to start teaching people what the Constitution is. We have a constitutionally illiterate electorate. There are way too many people that are illiterate on the Constitution. There are lots of people that tell you that they understand the Constitution, but do they really? And so I believe that we actually have to have an organization that is centering itself and leading on that, on those principles. And remember, a principle of leadership is leading by example. So in other words, I would not expect an organization to be impeccable. It cannot be using demagoguery. It cannot be, you know, just pointing the finger. What it should be doing is saying, hey, why don't you join us in centering on the Constitution? Why don't you put aside your differences and say, to heck with that, I'm going shoulder to shoulder with everybody who supports individual liberty and sovereignty, and I'm no longer going to be calling these people my enemies, and I'm no longer going to be poking my finger in their eye. What I am going to do is become a part of the solution instead of being the problem, because there are way too many leaders, supposedly managers is what they are. They're supposedly leaders, but there are way too many managers that are the problem. The one thing I was confronted with as a leader in a global organization was the structural alignment and realignment and reassignments and so forth. There are many times when I was faced with restructuring where we looked at my organization and said, hey, this body of network engineers over here, we think we would be better served if we move them over into systems engineering instead of integration. Because that's, you know, kind of the front end, and we have all these network design problems. And to me, that absolutely made sense. It made the organization better. We were far more efficient and we were more effective in what we were doing because we actually had people that understood the discipline in the right position at the right place in the chain of design as well as integration. And we created symbiotic relationships. That's what leaders do. And that's how leaders make things better. And I will tell you, anybody that is seeking their own self-interest is not a leader. The world and Spokane has more than its share of empire builders and the demagogues that lead these organizations. You know, obviously, their only solution is enlarging their organization. Give me more. I need more funding, going to the federal government to get funding or what have you. God forbid they become a leader and give up a part of their organization to another entity for more efficiency and better effectiveness for the betterment of the county or the portion of the county that would actually become more effective. I mean, God forbid that happen, that we actually have, you know, a reduction in our costs, an improvement in services or what have you. Somehow these despotic-minded managers believe that they are the ends to solve all problems, and history and empirical data only proves this wrong. Again, people, we have a lot of businesses here, and we really need to stand up an organization outside of the existing demagoguery management organizations that we have. We need to start setting an example, and I really believe this cannot be a self-serving, self-interest type of organization. It has to literally put its differences aside, but it has to be focused on those core principles of individual liberty and sovereignty, and centering it on constitutional leadership. In other words, looking at the party and saying, look, parties, you need to be centered on the Constitution. You need to be standing up against unconstitutional government. You have to quit pandering to this unconstitutional government and all of this party self-serving, I'll just call it crud. Well, I'm really running out of time. I got about 20 seconds left. When we come back from the break, I will have Dave Lucas. Again, he is a leader. He's a breath of fresh air. And I'm hoping that we actually see a change in the 3rd Legislative District. That is my personal opinion. We'll hopefully have Tim Ormsby on so that we can actually talk to him more directly about what he's been doing and his paradigm, because I personally can't tell you what that is. I have no idea what he understands and what he knows and how he feels about our Constitution. But that'll have to be round 2. But right now we've got round 1 with Dave Lucas, right after the break. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so we're back, and actually I say we're because I actually have on the phone with me, I have Dave Lucas, who is running for state legislator, which in my book, those are the guys that have the access to the real mantle of power. And so, Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you taking the time and letting me present my perspective. Thank you.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Let me get straight into the questions, because 11 minutes goes by fast.
Yes.
And so the first question I have is, in the least amount of words, how would you describe the Constitution?
How would I describe the Constitution? I think it is a framework which has been presented to ensure that the people of this country maintain control of their future and the destiny, as well as the government which they form.
Okay. And can you describe the Constitution in one word, maybe?
Let me think about that for a second. I guess I would say unalterable.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to presume that you had already kind of understood, you know, my single word for it, but that's okay. That's okay. It's good. overall, the Constitution is a framework, and within that framework, it actually delegates very specific powers. Who is it that delegates the powers to the federal government?
Well, the people fundamentally, but through their states, they have delegated the responsibilities and the powers that they have designated to the federal government.
Correct. So as the states have delegated these specific powers within Article 1, Section 8, and actually throughout the Constitution, because there's a few other spots where they do have some other powers or additional understanding of powers, do you know what departments were created under those delegated powers in 1789 when they first stood up the first Congress and the first government before they did the Bill of Rights? Do you know what those departments were?
I would have the War Department, the State Department, and I guess I don't know the third off the top of my head, so no.
The third would have been the Treasury, but you got the War Department right. Most people call that the Department of Defense, and that's okay. That's good. At least you knew that there were three. In understanding the Constitution, and in Article 6, it states that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. What does that mean to you?
Well, I would say it is the supreme law of the land, that basically no laws are going to be brought forward that would infringe upon that or basically interfere with anything that's already written in the Constitution. So you can't necessarily make something that isn't already in the Constitution.
Right, right, right. So the common misnomer is that if Congress, I'll give you a good example. The Civil Rights Act was done in the 60s. I forget what year specifically the Civil Rights Act was passed, but the Civil Rights Act, it was done by Congress. And so is the Civil Rights Act the supreme law of the land?
No, it would not be. It would be whatever the Constitution had laid out.
Right.
Certainly, you know, laws can be created, but they cannot necessarily infringe something that's in the Constitution.
Correct. Now, so here's the one catch. In Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, Congress basically, or not Congress, the states basically gave the federal government a 10 nautical mile square, which is called the seat of government, which became what we now know as Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. And so actually Congress has full legislative authority over that seat of government. So every law that they pass, like the Civil Rights Act and those types of laws, those are the laws for the District of Columbia only, until the states actually take those laws and either pass those laws or unless the Constitution has been amended in accepting that as the law of the land, because only things within the Constitution, you got that right. And that's big, because a lot of people don't understand that if Congress does something, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be the law of the land because Congress did it. And that's not the truth. The truth is that it has to be put into the Constitution. So it either has to be an amendment or something of such. And so, you know, there's all sorts of examples we could go down of what has the federal government done that is not necessarily constitutional or something that they're actually overstepping their bounds and what have you. And so the Bill of Rights was the first major change to the Constitution. And what are the Bill of Rights to you?
Well, it's actually interesting. The Bill of Rights, I think, is so... The Bill of Rights, even I think our founding fathers debated this, of whether the Bill of Rights should have even been done, because basically from some perspective was that the Bill of Rights was going to limit the rights that we had as citizens and as Americans, whereas all of the rights were those given to us, that we basically were ceded down from God to us, all the naturalistic rights. So we didn't necessarily need the Bill of Rights to lay those out. But there were some that were concerned that basically if we didn't lay those out, there would be efforts to infringe upon some of those. So the Bill of Rights was not an inclusive list, but basically a list of many of the rights with which, we were basically, we, the people, had naturalistically as we formed our government and our country.
Yes. And so if I can expound on that, you're absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, every state argued for a Bill of Rights, and the Federalists clearly debated that there was no need for a Bill of Rights, and the danger of a Bill of Rights would be, what if they didn't include it? What if they didn't include the right of energy for productivity or what have you, something that came along that they didn't know would even exist at their time, that down the road it would become a norm, and all of a sudden would we, just like it definitely didn't exist in their time because it was just an immoral practice. But abortion is a really good example of that. And so is there a right or is there a wrong to creating a Bill of Rights? And I think the framers were correct in saying that we should never list these things, because everything that is not delegated to the federal government, if it's not delegated to them, then they don't have any jurisdiction. They can't meddle with it. And so the only two amendments within the Bill of Rights that I thought were necessary was the 9th and the 10th ones, because those clarified that those things that were not delegated to the federal government were reserved. They wanted that language, because that language was actually in the Articles of Confederation. And so, I'm impressed by your understanding of that, because not too many people know that, and as a matter of fact, it's unfortunate. Most people consider the Bill of Rights the Constitution, because you ask them what's in the Constitution, they'll start listing the Bill of Rights. And I'm going, okay, so that's how important the Bill of Rights has been, I think, taught, and how much emphasis has been placed on those. But anyway, the next question I have is, what is the state of Washington's perspective on the Constitution? In the Washington State, I'll rephrase that. In the Washington State Constitution, what is its position on the U.S. Constitution?
I don't know definitively. I would, based on my knowledge of the states and their relationship with the Constitution, is that it would recognize that it basically has a say in the sense of the powers of the federal government are derived from the people and the state. Same with the state constitution, is its powers are derived from the people of the state.
Yes, and they actually have this one clause. I think it's in Article 1 or maybe Article 2, that it recognizes that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And so clearly they've laid it out there that anything that's within the Constitution is, supersedes anything that the states would want to do. But the danger is that, like we talked about, if the federal government does something, then the question is it constitutional? Well, no, as you answered that correctly, if the federal government does something like the EPA, does that mean that that's the law of the land and it's constitutional? No, because the EPA is not a delegated power within that constitution. So anyway, as you start stepping into the state and the state legislative roles, hopefully, you get across the finish line and you win and you go in. What is the first thing that you're going to do when we come back after the break? Actually, I just realized we got 1 second, so we're going into a hard break. So
okay. Please
stay tuned, and then I'll re-ask that question for you. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors, folks. So please stay tuned. Thank you very much. it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so I am back, and I still have Dave Lucas with us, folks. And the reason I still have Dave Lucas is because his opponent was unavailable for this section of time. And so the next round that we come around to the 3rd Legislative District, we will literally have hopefully an opportunity with have Dave and Tim getting both of their perspectives. But Tim's going to have to catch up on some of these questions because none shall pass without answering some of these questions, as I would say. Anyway, so the I guess the question I was leading into as you're going in, and let's say you get across the finish line, and that would be a great thing for you, and I know this is something you really want to do. I don't understand why anybody would jump into the fray if they didn't want to do it. So anyway, so what do you believe is the biggest issue in representing the people in the 3rd District?
So I think the as with the government at the federal level or the state level, the number one responsibility is protection of the people. And I think we have collectively and certainly Tim specifically has opposed many of the public safety efforts that have been put forward. So would certainly work to pass a bill that was forwarded bipartisan through the Senate last year to bring back probation officers for the property crime. In 2008, 2009, we got rid of probation officers, and we have since then seen a consistent escalation and increase in the property crimes in Spokane. And then immediately on that hint, on the tails of that, would be to oppose these numerous tax increases are being proposed for the people of Washington. So that would benefit not only the 3rd District, but all of Washington that would suffer under these new taxes.
So the question I have then is, and it's related, and I will tie them together a little bit later, but how do you feel about the militia within the Constitution and actually the existing militias within the state here?
I certainly believe they have a role. I don't know if we've necessarily had a need or a call forward, certainly not in Washington in a recent time. But it's laid out both in the federal and state constitution that they have. So, I think it's certainly something that's been put forward as a need, and certainly something that our founding fathers believed we needed to have to be prepared with.
Right. And so if I might, I would beg to examine the Constitution, because in Article 1 and in Section 8, and I believe you'll find it in Section, let me see here, 16, subsection 16, the Constitution states this: to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. Now, that's still a standing part of the Constitution. What you don't find in the Constitution is the establishment of a National Guard. You don't find in the Constitution the establishment of supporting and training municipality police forces and or sheriffs. What you'd see, and they never change this, so in other words, all the federal money that goes into counties for sheriff's department for training, equipping, and arming, that actually should be going to the militia. And it's the same thing with the National Guard. The National Guard, it's not a constitutional founding. They basically bypassed the Constitution in creating it. And so I would beg the question, and actually, if you start understanding the idea of the militia, because the militia is supposed to be, you know, based on county down into local levels and so forth, and in a way, as a culture and as a society, we kind of have lost our roots of our neighborhoods and communities because we no longer kind of have that responsibility. And going down this path of this, you know, what I would call property, you know, securing property and, you know, and reducing crime that you're going down, I would beg to say that reinstating the militia and organizing it more and getting those federal funds for that instead of for, you know, the National Guard for whatever it does and its roles with the state, because it's not serving the community like it should be. And I would see that as a real opportunity of making a, I'll call it a paradigm shift for the communities and actually pulling it together. What do you think about that?
That's interesting. So you're saying rather than using the state guard, that basically then instead of law enforcement, or instead of, or using them as law enforcement?
Well, so not necessarily using them as law enforcement, but I'll tell you, as you start knowing your community and you know who belongs and so forth, it becomes a natural form of policing, because you'll know who doesn't belong and who does, and you actually start getting more involved in the community. Because if you understand the militia, who is supposed to be in the militia? I believe most states, it cuts off at 70, but any able-bodied man is supposed to be serving in the militia. And so it kind of creates a burden. But that's okay, because to me, it's a community burden, and yes, it is an interesting concept, but it is supposed to support, you know, invasions from external forces and or civil uprisings. And so that's what the militia is for. And the militia actually can be called, as the Constitution says, to go to the southern border or what have you,
right,
instead of the National Guard. But if you look at the billions of dollars that are spent on the National Guard system, that money could be far better used in serving the communities instead of serving, you know, the military global wars and all of those other things that they're doing. And they, because they already have, and you know, there's the reserve forces, and some of those reserve forces, I think, do fall into the National Guard. But the Marine Corps has its own reserve forces. That's not National Guard.
Correct.
Army has their own reserve forces. So the National Guard is like a reserve. But I'm just saying that the money that they use for that, I think, would be a huge, huge opportunity for the communities and for the states to be able to start organizing. And actually, I honestly think they can take a greater role in working with the communities for both property protection and that type of stuff. We don't have the Portland Antifa marching and doing property damage, but there's no reason why, if you've got a well-trained and equipped militia for today's time, there's no reason why they can't be deployed and utilized for those types of things. What do you think?
Right. Well, and we certainly haven't used the militia necessary for that, but I know when the LA riots were, the Marine Corps Reserve unit there in LA was mobilized to support and reduce the violence that had basically come out of that, and basically helped to quell that until it had reached a state of calm. So certainly not an unheard of use. I think something you brought up earlier is more interesting. Something as I've doorbelled through Spokane, through the different communities and neighborhoods I've talked to, when I've talked to them about, and they've expressed their concerns over different crime issues, the point you bring up, which I think is really fundamentally important, is the community point. And that's one of the things I've tried to encourage them to start with, is not to necessarily wait, but to start now. Make sure you know your neighbors. Make sure you know who belongs there in the neighborhood. Make sure you have good contacts. Similar to the block watch, but even more personal, in the sense of you actually are connected to all of your neighbors very personally, that you have had a discussion and talked with them. And, I think you alluded to it, but recognize when a car comes down the street, is that one of the neighbor's cars? Is it one of the kids? Is it a friend? Having a good familiarity with that is one of the first steps that people can do very personally and easily within their own community to improve some of the crime issues.
Right, right. Yeah, I personally believe that there's a lot of money, and there's a lot of people that are, I think, especially if you look at how many people that are might be on the dole or not fully employed or gainfully employed, I think that there's room for them in a militia. I think there's room. Well,
there's a whole discussion on that with the idea of a mandatory service after school, to develop that, help community peace, work on civics discussion, which, we've lost.
Yeah, but there's no retirement from the militia. You don't get a retirement. Right. there's no standing pay or anything else. Right. It is a civil responsibility and duty. And so, yeah, I honestly think that I'd like to see this grow legs, because, one, it's actually in the Constitution, and it flies in the face of the money being spent on both sheriffs, municipalities, other forms of law enforcement, when they shouldn't be getting that federal dollars. Only the militia should be getting federal dollars. And the fact that the money that's being sucked up by the National Guard is another great example of, you just literally waste on something that's not within the Constitution. So anyway, just something for you to, consider and chew on. I would love to have you back. I'm out of time now, but we'll have you back in a couple of weeks if that's okay with you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. It's always enjoyable, so thank you.
All right, great. Well, folks, I'm actually done with my show and time. As you can tell, this is the last segment, so I will be back next week, and I will have hopefully a couple more candidates on the waiting, and you'll actually be able to hear their thoughts on the Constitution as well. So have a good evening. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much.